So we got to the bottom of Gimel and Beis. We're going to learn some a little bit about Mikvaos now. So this is one of the very important sugyas of Mikvaos throughout Shas. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Marav, four lines up from the bottom of Gimel and Beis. Amar of Yehuda Marav, Ashloshes Lugin Mayim, Shanafla Tochen Kurtav Shayayin. You have three lug of water, and a drop of wine fell into that three lug of water. Umareyan kimareyain, and now it's so strong the wine it makes the whole lug, all three lug, appear like wine. V'nafla l'mikva. Now this three lug of water with wine in it now drops into a mikvah. Lo pasul, does not disqualify. So you have to understand very importantly here that in general there's something called mayim shuvim. Mayim shuvim that is water that's been drawn. Normally to make a mikvah you need to make a shamim, rainwater that drops in the place of the bore, the pit. But if you transport may gshamim from elsewhere, that's a psul midirbanan of shuvim. That's drawn water. That's not good. So the halacha is that let's say I've got mem sa, 40 sa of water may gshamim, and then I pour shuvim into it. That's actually kosher. Once you have 40 sa of water, nothing could disqualify that with regards to shuvim. But let's say while I'm filling up my mem sa, so the rain's coming in, and I decide to throw some buckets of water in. So then that would disqualify the mikvah if you're filling up to 40 sa. So if you throw in three lug of shuvim into water before it got to 40 sa, that actually disqualifies the mikvah. That's a lach of shuvim. Now with respect to wine, so wine disqualifies the mikvah only if it colors the mikvah. If let's say you have wine and it stays white, still clear, the wine ends up being diluted, then wine won't impact it. No matter when you put the wine in, no matter how much you put the wine in. But if you put a wine in and it discolors, it makes it red, so then the wine will disqualify the mikvah. So now I've got three lug of water, which normally will disqualify the mikvah if it's during the process of filling up. But now it looks like wine because I put a very strong, potent wine, has the color of wine. So now I throw with this wine-looking water into the mikvah, the lacha is it doesn't disqualify the mikvah. Why? Because the understanding is, look at Rashi. Rashi says eight lines up from the bottom. Lo paslu zil basar chazusi. You go based on the color. And since it looks like wine, even though we know the ingredients are three lug of water, but since it looks like wine, v'yayin ain't opposed to mikvah, and wine does not disqualify mikvah, we view three lug of wine that is colored with wine, three lug of water, that looks like wine as wine and doesn't disqualify. But again, we said wine only disqualifies if it changes the mikvah to look like wine. So since it still looks clear, the three lug of wine is not strong enough and it just ends up dispersing and looks clear, it won't disqualify. We view, again, three lug of water plus wine, we view that as wine. And that's why this is a kasher mikvah. Everyone got that?
That's a mixture of wine?
Yeah, a drop of wine falls into three lug of water.
Okay.
So now I've got three lug of water that looks like wine.
Right.
I dump that into the mikvah.
Okay.
That won't affect it. Since the wine's going to end up dispersing and still look clear, it doesn't disqualify.
But is it because of the shear or because it's going to be transparent because you won't see the color?
Because it won't be colored.
Just because of that.
If I didn't have the
wine. Right, okay.
But let's say I didn't put the wine in. I had three lug of water, pure water,
yeah,
and which is shuvim. And then I drop that into the mikvah, that would actually disqualify it.
So also the fact that there is some wine in it.
It makes it wine now. It has a din of wine now.
But it has to have color of wine.
Exactly. If it doesn't have the color of wine, then it's not even wine. It goes based on chazusa, based on the appearance.
Right, right.
So that's the important klal. So the Gemara says, Maskiv la Rav Kana. Rav Kana challenges this statement. V'chima bein zeh lemeitzeva. Why would this be any different than meitzeva? Meitzeva is dyed water, colored water. So what's the halacha with colored water? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Mikvos, Rabbi Yossi Omer meitzeva posen es a mikvah b'shloshes lugim. That means if I have color, I drop some food coloring in it, some green, blue, whatever colors I want, and then I pour that into the mikvah, that will disqualify the mikvah. So why is meitzeva a problem, but yayin isn't a problem? So the Gemara answers, Amar le Rava, hasam, it all depends on what you call this mixture. Hasam, the Mishnah mikvah in Mikvaos, is maya ditzava mikvah. You call it water that's colored, but be'etam, it's really water. It's really three lug of water that happens to be colored, and when you dump it into the mikvah, it's called mayim shuvim and pasal. Hacha, when it comes to when you pour wine into the three lug of water, hacha chamra maziga mikri. You call this diluted wine, but it's called wine. But etim, it's really wine. Even though there's a drop of wine, that wine is so strong, it makes the whole three lug of water, it transforms it into wine. Now that it has the shame of wine, wine doesn't disqualify the mikvah unless it colors the whole mikvah, which in this case it doesn't. Okay, so the Gemara says, wait a second. Still, we have that important distinction, but Vahatani, doesn't the Braisa say, Hatani Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya teaches us how we do as a mikvah. What's the case here? So just look at Rashi, Vahatani Rabbi Chiya, six lines up. Hatani Rabbi Chiya, Shloshes Lugin Mayim, you have three lug of water, Mayim Shuvim, Shenafel Tochan Kurt of Yain, which you dropped a little bit of wine into it, and Marein Kimar Yain, and it gives the appearance of wine, Vinafel Mikvah. Then you dump that three lug of now mixture of white of water and wine, you dump into the mikvah. Rabbi Chiya says, "Horidu as a mikvah," which means mech shero lipsul, says Rashi. So we just said above three lug of water plus wine doesn't disqualify mikvah. Rabbi Chiya says three lug of water plus wine does disqualify mikvah. So how do you reconcile? How could Rav go against the brayso of Rabbi Chiya? So the Gemara answers, it's really a machlokas tanaim. So now you have to really pay attention. If you're hopefully you're still following along. The Gemara says, Amar Rava Lokasha Har Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Harabban. This is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabban, as we're about to see. Where Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell us, we always follow the chazusa, the color of how it looks. So it's called wine. That's the position of Rav. So if you drop wine into the three lug of water, it becomes wine and won't disqualify the mikvah. But Rabban hold, no, we don't go based on chazusa, we go based on the ingredients. And since there are three lug of water, even though there's a drop of wine in it, it's still three lug of water, and it will disqualify the mikvah. So it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Nuri, and Rabbanan. So let's go to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Titzan, this Mishnah is found in Maseches Mikvaos, that Shloshes Lugin Mayim Chaser Kurtav. So this line, keep in mind, we're going to see a little bit further down, there's a machlokas where the Chaser Kurtav should be in the Girsa. But right now we have it. So you have three lug of water, minus a little bit. So it's not three lug yet. Less than three lug of water doesn't disqualify a mikvah. So it's lacking a little drop. It's under that line, or three lug. What happens? Shenafal atochan kurt of yain. Now you drop a drop of wine in this three lug, now it puts it over the line. Now it's a total of three lug altogether. Umareyin mar kemar yain. And it looks like wine. Venafal mikvah. Then you pour that three lug of wine into the mikvah. Lo paslu. That won't disqualify it. So too, let's say you have three lug of water, but minus a little bit, below the line, you drop some milk, and milk's not going to change the color. You drop a little bit of milk in, and marein kimar mayim, and it looks like water, v'naflu l'mikvah lo paslu, it's not going to disqualify. But what you learn from this case, Rashi points out here, look at Rashi lo pasluhu, mishum dechaser kurtav. The reason why this doesn't disqualify, because you don't have a total three a lug of water. You have 2.9, but 0.1 is wine, or 0.1 is milk, but you don't have three full things of lug of water. This is the important line. Aval I have made kara shloshes lugin shlemim. If you did have in the beginning a full amount of three lug of water, and then only afterwards nafal tochan kurt of yain, and you drop some wine in there, umaren kemar yain, even though it looks like wine now, pasu, the rabban don't care. They don't care how it looks. They look at the ingredients. If there's three lug of water, it's shuvim. I don't care if you put the food coloring wine in it. If there's three lug of water, it's disqualified. But that's Tanir Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya learns like Rabbanan that there's three lug of water, even though there's wine, it's possible, it's shuvim. But then comes along Rabbi Yochanan in this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Hakol Holech Acher Mar. No, it all goes based on the appearance. So if you have three lug of water, that's Mayim Shuvim. If you drop some wine in it, and it looks like wine, that now transforms to wine, and then when you dump that into the mikvah, that's fine, because wine doesn't disqualify the mikvah unless it discolors the mikvah. So this machlokas between Rav and Amad Beis, Rav and Rabbi Chiya, is machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Everyone good on that? Okay. So now this is where it gets a little tricky. The Gemara says, V'hami bai le rapapa. Didn't Rabbi Papa have the following suffix? He wasn't really sure how to learn that Mishnah that we just quoted with Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Bai Rabbi Papa asks, Rav Tana, what was Rav's girsa of that Mishnah Mikvaos about Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Was Rav Tana Chaser Kurta Bereisha, like we had? Did he have the presentation that we just read it above? That we're starting off with a case of three lug minus a little bit. And Aval, but the implication would be, Shlosha Lugin, had it been a full amount of Shlosha Lugin, like Rashi said, Latana Kama Pasli, it would have been possible if there's three lug of water. And also Rabbi Yochanan Lemeimar, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, Akol Holy Acher Hamara. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't care how much water you start with, you could start with three, four, five lug. If it looks like wine, it's wine. And then so the machlok is about a case of three lug of water plus wine. Do you go based on ingredients of three lug and it's possible, or do you go based on appearance, chazusa, in which case it's wine and would be kosher for the mikvah? And Rav Amar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in which case Rav would be holding like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that we always go based on the mara. Was that how to learn the Mishnah? Or this is a whole new approach. Maybe the Mishnah Mikvaos should be learned different. Dilma Rav lo tane chaser kurta of Bereisha. In the beginning of the Mishnah, the very top line of this page here, when it says chaser kurta, those words are erased. And really it should be, if you have shlosha lugin of water, three amounts of water, and wine gets added in, so then Rabbi Yochanan said, rather Rabbanan, even Rabbanan would say, lo paslu. Right? The new way we read the Mishnah, let me read this together again, the Mishnah, without the girsa. Mishnah says, shlosh is lugin mayim, skip the next words, shenafel tochen kurt of yayin, it has three lug of water, and wine drops in, umarein kimarein, and it looks like wine, lo paslu, for naflu mikva, lo paslu. Even the chachamim will agree that if it looks like wine, it will not disqualify. So now Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri are saying the same exact thing. It goes based on Akol Holech Acher Mara. So is that the girsa Rav had? Again, look at the Gemara. Odilma, or perhaps we would say, Rav lo tane chaser kurta bereisha. He doesn't have the girsa, of course, a kurta of in the reisha with the case of wine. It's a full three lug of water that wine drops in after its three lug. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is only arguing ki palig a sefer with the palig. He only argues on the sefer with regards to the milk. I'll get to in just a second. But with regards to the wine, they both agree if there's three lug of water, full amount, full three lug of water, and you drop wine in and it looks like wine, even the Tanakama and Ryochan Benuri will agree it's kosher. In which case, Rav of Gimel Beis Damar Kedivri Akoli hold like both parties. So that was his suffix. So the Gemara says, I'll get back to that sefer in just a second. So how come a Rav was so sure what the halacha was? Rav Papa wasn't so sure how to read it. Gemara says, we're not bothered by that. The Rav Papa mibaylei, the Rav pshitilei. That's okay. Rav Papa wasn't sure what the girsa in the Mishnah was, but Rav knew what the girsa was. He was certain what the girsa was, and that's not a problem. Either way, we see that there's two ways to read this Mishnah. Either that there's a machlokas with regards to the case of Yayin, or they both agree with the case of Yayin, but they only debate the case of the milk. So let's just get back to that sefer case. So now when we rechain, when we change that girsa, we only remove the words the chaser kurta in the reisha from the case of the yayin. But we still have the girsa of chaser kurta by the case of milk. So now the mishnah should be read, let's say you have three lug of water, minus a little bit, chaser kurta, and then milk drops in to it, and it still looks like water. So in that case, Tanakama held, lo paslu, it doesn't disqualify it. Because in the end, they need the ingredients, Tanakama. And you don't have three lug of water. You have 2.9 water plus milk. Milk isn't water. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who holds the old goes hakol holech acher mara, so even though the ingredient is 0.1 milk, in the end of the day, you go based on the mara. And it looks like three lug of water, and since it looks like three lug of water, that will disqualify. So that's the machlokas between Tanakama, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, according to the Seifa, the second understanding of the Mishnah. He machmer by the chalav case. Right.
Why would they take out chaser kurta from the reisha and not take out in the seifa?
I'm not sure they had different texts. I have no idea what they had in front of them. It was just.
It would make sense that if it's in one, it's also the other.
Because they're each teaching different things. The reisha is talking about that you need chazusa, that you need chazusa.
Right.
And the seifa is teaching you need shear. So the rabbanan are telling you two different halachas. One's telling you with wine when it's chazusa, you need both.
Right.
But I don't know if it's a question of logic. Either way, it makes sense to read it. It was just they had a suffix in what the text was. They lost the Masorah of how it properly was. It's possible the Chasid Kurta was always in the Seifa, and maybe somehow, accidentally, the editors included in the ratio as well. So I'm not sure. I don't think it was a question in logic. It doesn't seem.
So is it that they found some manuscript with the auditor or something like that?
Yeah, it could be.
There had to be some kind of Masara that maybe
yeah, it could be. You never know, because a lot of these Mishnahs, remember, they were memorized right before they put down. So who knows what was lost in that train of thinking. So I don't know what it was based on. Fine. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Lo Shmili Hashmais. I never heard the sugya. So the Rashi just points out that he was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, and he never heard that whole sugya that we said above about Shlosh Lugin. Because the sugya started off Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yosef was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda. He said, I never heard of such a halacha. So the Gemara, Amar Le'abai, Abai says to Rav Yosef, At Amar Slei Nehalan, you told it to us, V'alchi Amar Slei Nehalan, and you told us with the following nusach. The Rav lo tani chaser kurta of bereisha. He did not have that girsa in the reisha, and Rav Yochanan seifa palig. Rav Yochanan is only arguing with respect to the case of the milk, the seifa. But Rav damar kidivrei kol, which means Rav holds like both opinions of the Rabbanan and Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And as we know, we've seen all over the place, as Rashi pointed out, Rav Yosef became sick and lost his Talmudah. He started to forget some of his learning, so he didn't remember this particular halacha that he had said over. Okay, now still in the same topic of mikvos, the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Chavis Melea Mayim, a pitcher full of water, Shenafel L'yam HaGadol. Now, a pitcher of water, by definition, is a, and you're transporting, is Mayim Shuvim, it's Pasul. Now, you drop it into the Yam HaGadol, you drop it into the Mediterranean, and HaTovel Sham Lo Alsa Lo Tefillah. The guy, let's say, you drop in a bucket of water, he goes mamish in the spot where it goes, he dips into that area, the loch is, he doesn't, it's not a good Tefillah, because chashinan shlo shalugin shlo yu b'makom echad. A little strange way they say this, but what this means is we're concerned that mamish, if he went to the same place where the bucket was dropped, the water perhaps stayed stagnant, didn't move anywhere, and he went to those waters and not the rest of the yam hagadol. That's the concern here. So the Gemara points out, v'dafkel yam hagadol dekoy v'kaima, only the Mediterranean, which stays very steady. I don't know, I've never taken a boat ride in the Mediterranean. But a river which has this current and moves down, so that won't be the case, because the moment you put the pitcher, the bucket of water, it's going to get sent down, so you can never get the same exact spot where the water dropped. So this becomes a fascinating discussion. So what about every other body of water? A lake would certainly be like a Yam HaGadol. Lakes are more steady than a Yam HaGadol, I would imagine. But let's say the oceans or other types of seas where there's a lot more movement. What would the halacha be in those cases? So there's a machlokas. The Ritva and others talk about, some say this is only Yam HaGadol, which apparently is a steady type of huge sea, but any other body of water has movement to it. And others say, no, only rivers have current and movement, but bodies of water that are not rivers don't have as much movement. This halacha, if you jump into that same area, I didn't look up the halacha, but...
Specifically wouldn't make much... because you're dipping down. How much is 3 lugin?
I don't know what it translates into. But in a lake, we can understand in a lake. You put it in.
I mean, as soon as you put it in, it's like, I mean, because you're actually diving inside.
Yeah, but I don't know how the molecules move. I'm not sure. You'd have to put like some coloring in the water to see, but I have no idea how to figure it out.
So let me ask a question. So if you do that on a mikvah, we see that it's kosher. So why a mikvah would be kosher and the Yam HaGadol wouldn't?
So we're talking about in the mikvah, you let it probably move around.
So
a
you already have 40 cells. And you put 3 lugin, we said that it doesn't make it possible.
Right. So that's a very good question. So maybe you have to say, but it's only after you let some time pass maybe, I'm not sure. But there's actually interesting, Tshuva, Tzemach Tzedek talks about a situation. Let's say a person was a husband, fell into a lake that was iced over, and you never saw him come up the other end. So do you assume he just never made it up? Or maybe it came out far away, some other area which you never saw. So it depends on what type of current exists in the bodies of water. So he says, if it's a river, rivers can become ice. But let's say it's an ice area that has some current. Yeah, it really can, yeah? Okay, so let's say...
The Hudson River, ice is over.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, so let's say it's a river. So the guy went underneath the river, and there's a current underneath the river. It's possible, even though you didn't see him come up that area, he could have been pulled up with another area, so you can't assume he's dead, and his wife would be Naguna. But let's say it's a lake, which is very stagnant, and you didn't see him come up, there's no other area for him to come up from, then you could assume he died, and she would not be in a guna. That's what he wrote. I don't know if we pass him that way, but that's what is discussed in the Tshuvas. Okay, so the Gemara says now further. Tanin Amihachi, the Baraita says the same idea. Chavis Mileya Yain Shenafel Yam HaGadol, a barrel of water fell into the Yam HaGadol. Hatova Shamlo also lo Trila Chashinan Lashlo Shalugin Shalihubu Makum Echad. There's a bunch of Gersos here. This is very tricky Gemara how to get it. We're going to just read it. Pashup Shad Rashi. They take out the word Shuvim because the Psul of Yain isn't a Psul of Shuvim, it's a Psul of Yain. You can't go to Mikvah of wine. So if you drop a pitcher of or barrel of wine into an area of the Yam HaGadol and you jump into that mamish, that same area, we don't give you a good tefillah because we're concerned you dipped into wine and you weren't dipping into the water. V'chein kikar shel tshuma shenafel sham tamer. So this is also unclear. It sounds like from the Gemara that if a piece of bread that's tshuma fell into that water, it becomes tamer. But Rashi says, no, it's a person who went to that area and then came out of that area and touched Chuma, we assume he is still Tameh, and then he could be Metameh the Chuma. That's the way Rashi understands this case here. But again, it's very confusing what this means. There's the Tosos here about different yourselves. So again, we're assuming like Rashi that what it means, Kikar Shel Chuma, is when the guy came out of that mikvah, that wine that was dumped into the Yam HaGadol, if we don't assume he had a good mikvah, a good tefillah, and we touch the Chuma is now Tameh. So Gemara says, "My v'chein." What's the v'chein? What's the so too? What are we trying to say here? So Mao, the same. What would you have thought? Hasam oki gavra achazka, hacha oki chuma achazaka. By the case of the person before he went to the mikvah, his chazaka was tame. So maybe me toch safek of not being a mikvah or not, we say he should still have the same status quo of becoming tame. But now with regards to the kikar shachuma, the previous chazaka was it was tahor. So maybe from a suffix, we shouldn't be metame something, we should give it its status quo of remaining tahor. So the chiddush is that no, it's so strong, this assumption, that if you jump in that same spot where the wine was, it's such a strong assumption that we assume it's not a good tefillah. Not only do we say the gavra, the person remains tame, but we could even assume that it's metame, the kikar shel tshuma. Okay. Fine, let's go back to now. The new Mishnah tells us back to Edom Zomim. The person says that so-and-so Reuven, let's say it's chayv $200. V'nim tzuzomimim, turns out the edim are zomimim. The loch is lokin u'mishalman, you get two punishments according to your remeir. Shelo Hashem ha-mevin li-dei makos, mevin li-dei tashlumim. It's not the same source of the pasuk that brings one to the malkos as it is that brings him to pay the money. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Gemara is going to explain what the two sources are. The Gemara is going to describe Kimei with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds you get two punishments. The Edom Zomim pay the money, they try making Reuven pay, and they also get malkos for violating Edom Zomim. So the Gemara says that's all Shitas Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim Omrim Kol HaMeshalem Eino Loke. Anyone who pays doesn't get malchus. We have the concept of Kimle B'di Rabbi Bine Kidei Risha, so Rashi quotes that you can only give Mishum Risha Achas Mechaiva, you can only chayv for one punishment at a time. V'yata Mechaiva Mishum Shtei Risha, so you can't give two punishments at a time, so therefore he pays as opposed to malchus. The Gemara discusses shouldn't he get malchus instead of paying? That's the Gemara discusses. But either way, he pays, he only gets one punishment. In this case it's Tashlumim and not malchus against Rabbi Meir. Misha gives a second scenario. Anu b'ish, meidim anu b'ish ploni, we testify that Reuven shuchai malkos. He did something that's worthy of malkos. Let's say he was lo sach some shur b'disha. Let's say he was muzzling his animal while having a plow. He deserves malkos. So what's halacha v'nim tzu zomim? It turned out the edim are false. Lokin shimonim, you get 80 malkos for Rabbi Meir. Mishim, what are the two reasons? Mishim lo sana b'reacha eid sheker. That's one violation, they gave false testimony. And Mishim Vasisim Lo Kashir Zamam, there's a second reason of giving the punishment to them what they tried giving to Reuven, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So you get two sets of lashes here, two sets of punishments for Rabbi Meir, and Chachamim L'shitasam hold Ein Lokin Elab Arbam. We say Kim Leib Rabbi Minei, we only give one punishment, not two, so you only get one set of Malkos, not two set of Malkos. Fine, that's the Machlokis Rabbi Meir Chachamim. The Gemara now, when Amud Beis, explains this Machlokis. Gemara says in the very top of the base Bishlama, this makes sense. The Rabbanon, why they only give one punishment, not two? Because it says Kidei Rishaso, then Pasuk, Ksiv Mishum Risha Achas Atamachayva Vietav Mechayva Mishum Shte Rishaso. You give one punishment, not two punishments at a time. Eli Rabbi Meir, my time, but where's Rabbi Meir's basis that you get two punishments? How does he reject Kim Levi the Rabbi Minei? So Amar Ula, Ula answers, Gamar Mimoti Shemra. He learns that from Moti Shemra, Ma Moti Shemra Loki Mishalim Afkol Loki Mishalim. Moti Shemra is unique, where you pay money, but you also have to get Malkos. The Pasuk says, V'yisru Oso, V'anshu Oso. You give Malkos and you also pay. So that everybody agrees. Even Chachamim agree, you get two punishments, Malkos and Mishalim. And Rabbi Meir uses Moti Shemra as a model for Edom Zomimim. So it comes along, the Gemara says, how could he use Ma Moti Shemra Shekein Knas? But that's unique. We know ein bo el chidusha. When it comes to the world of knas, penalties are don't make sense necessarily. You pay the penalty because the Torah says to. But ein bo el chidusha, you can't use it to apply elsewhere. Or at least you could maybe say differently, that you can't compare knas, the world of knas, to the world of mammon. And the world of ein zomimim is paying mammon, not knas. So the Gemara says no, that Rabbi Meir holds like Savar Lak Rabbi Kiva Damar Edim Zomim Knasahu. He holds that it's a penalty, it's a knas like we saw the 2 days ago. So therefore you could equate Moti Shemra and Edim Zomim, that they're both knasos. And just like Moti Shemra it's Lokim Mishalim, so to Edim Zomim is Lokim Mishalim. Now the Gemara has Therefore you can make the equation between the two. So Gemara now says, Ike demasni la de ula aha. Others have a different gear, so that Ula's statement is actually going on the following. They said that Moti Shemra is the source for the following discussion. A whole other topic. The Tanya. Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker. One should not leave over the kudshim to the morning. But v'hanosu mimenu, one who does leave over the basar to the morning, ad boker, the pasuk goes on to say, let's get the exact lashon here, that ba'esh tisrofu, you burn it. So there's a lav to leave over a kudshim, but if you leave it over, there's a way to fix it. It's a lav anitek la'aseh. You could fix it by burning it, sreifas nosar, in the morning. So the Gemara says, ba ha'kasu liten aseh, acher los aseh. The pasuk says, do an aseh of tisrofu ba'esh, tisrofu, you burn it in the morning to undo the lav of los osiru. So lomar to teach me, she'ein lokin alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda, to tell us that you don't get malkus. Normally a lav would get malkus, but since it's a nitek la'aseh, to lav nitek la'aseh, the aseh undoes the lav, in which case there are no malkus. That's why Rabbi Yehuda holds there are no malkus. Rabbi Kiva agrees that there's no malkus by the case of nosar, of los hasiru, but for a different reason. Rabbi Kiva omer lo min hashem huzeh. That's not why there's no malkus for nosar, because it's a nitek la'aseh. Ela mishim dehavalei lav shem b'maisa. V'cholav shem b'maisa ain lokin alav. By you leaving over your meat, nosar, you haven't done an action, you did a non-action. You were passive, just letting it stay overnight. That's a lav shem b'maisa. And a lav shem b'maisa, Rabbi Kiva holds, is ain lokin alav. So they both agree that there's no malchus for leaving over nosar. They just question what the reason is. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's because a lav lav shem b'maisa, and Rabbi Huda, it's because it's a lav ahanita klase, that it gets fixed by burning it the next morning. Fine. What is? What's the shame? The Gemara is going to address that. Very good. So the Gemara says, Michlal, this seems to indicate, the Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Lav Shein Bo Maisa, Lokin Alav. Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that he had to come on to a different reason why there's no Malkus, he explained because it's a Nita Klase, sounds like he wasn't satisfied with the Svar of Lav Shein Bo Maisa. So he must hold in general, a Lav Shein Bo Maisa is Lokin Alav. You do get Malkus for a non-action type of Lav. Manali, how does he know this? Andy said, Amar Ula, Gamar mi Moti Shemra. Just like Moti Shemra, Lav Shemra Maisa. There's no action, there's just speech. You were Moti Shemra about your wife, and yet you're Lokin Alav, Av Kolav Shemra Maisa Lokin Alav. So to any other type of Lav Shemra Maisa, you get Malkus. So shouldn't there be Malkus for Nosar? So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. You're right, there should be Malkus for Nosar, but since it's a Nitek La'aseh, Be'esha Tasrofu, you burn it the next day, so then there is no Malkus for that exception. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You can't use Moti Shemra as a model, because there's a lot of shame, but Ma'isa Lokin Alava. Ma'ala Moti Shemra Shekain Lokin Mishalim. There's other Chumras that is unique to Moti Shemra, that you get a double punishment. You get Malkus and you pay. So maybe there's another Chumra that even a lot of shame, but Ma'isa. So you can't use that for a model for other areas. There are a lot of chumras we apply to Moti Shemra. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Reish Lakish Gamar Me Edim Zomim. We learn Edim Zomim is really the model. Ma Edim Zomim Lav Shemba Maisa Lokna Lav. There's no Maisa by Edim Zomim. They just made a speech. Dibor isn't a Maisa. So Af Kolav Shemba Maisa Lokna Lav. So too, all other areas, a Lav Shemba Maisa, according to Rabbi Huda, would be Lokna Lav. Mar says, wait a second, you can't use Edom Zomim as a model either, because Mala Edom Zomim Shekein Ein Tzricha Hasra. So Edom Zomim has another Chumrah. Every other Aveira in the Torah, before you're giving a punishment, you need to warn the guy. But Edom Zomim is unique that there is no Hasra. So just like Edom Zomim has a Chumrah of not needing Hasra, so too it has a Chumrah of getting Malkos, even though there's Ein B'maisa. So you can't use Edom Zomim as a model either. Moti Shemra is not a good model, neither is Edom Zomim. So the Gemara says, well, Moti Shemra when Yochiach, you could go back to Moti Shemra, which does have Asra to it, and there's Lokin Alav. But then, problem is, Moti Shemra, there's a chumra of two punishments. So you go back and forth, and the Gemara says, Zachazer din lo raizeh, kor raizeh, lo raizeh, kor raizeh. Neither one serves as an independent model, but a tzad ashava shabhen. But you could combine them, and the common denominator between Moti Shemra and Edom Zomim is lav shein wa maisa. Neither one has a maisa to it, and yet lokan alav. So af kol, so too, kol lav shein wa maisa. Lokan alav. So we're using Edom Zomim and Moti Shema together as a model for Rabbi Yehuda that lav shema ma'isa lokan alav. Gemara asks, malatad shava shaben, but the problem is, even within the common denominator of these two averos, shekain kanas, they're both kanasos, they're both penalties. So you can't use that as a model for other areas. So the Gemara says, halokasha, this is not a problem, because maybe Rabbi Yehuda lo savar la Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, which means he holds Edom Zomim is mamon. So although Meitei Shemra is knas, he holds Edom Zomim is not knas, is mamon, and therefore you cannot, there's not, that's not common denominator between the two of them anymore, and that doesn't serve as a question, and it does serve to be a good model for other lav shemba maises. So then the Gemara says, I can ask another tadashava. Elamara tadashava shebehen sheish ben tzad chomer. Well, either one, both Edom Zomim and Moti Shemra has some chumrah. The chumrahs are different, but there's at least an overall chumrah. That Edom Zomim has a chumrah of not requiring hasra, and Moti Shemra has a chumrah of having a double punishment. So there's some chumrah that maybe it shouldn't apply to other more kala cases. And the Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda tzad chomer lepar. He doesn't ask tzad chomers. If you're going to ask a question from a tzad shava, has to be the same exact point. But to ask a general statement of their certain stringencies overall, if they're not the same stringency, that's not going to break up this tzad shava. Okay. The doing the time here. Okay. So the Gemara now says Rabbanan hai losane berecha echeka mai darish pe. What do they learn from this pasuk losane? According to Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah, Losana was a source of Malkos because of Eidu Sheker. Kasher Zaman was a separate source. So what are the Rabbanan who don't learn Losana as a source of Malkos? What are they going to do with this Pasuk? So the Gemara explains, Hahumi Barile, that's needed La Azhara, Leidim Zomim. That's the Azhara. We know every single Onesh in the Pasuk also needs a separate Pasuk as the Azhara. One Pasuk is the warning, and the other Pasuk is the source of the punishment. So Losana for Rabbanan is the Azhara. Rabbi Meir Azhara Leidim Zomim Minale. So then Rabbi Meir, you ask him, where is the Azhara? If he uses Losana as a Onesh for Eidim Zomim, so where is the Azhara for Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara answers, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Nafgalei, Me'avin Nisharim Yishmu V'loy V'yiro V'loy Yosifu Od. When everyone observes what takes place for Eidim Zomim, it says, everyone should see what happened, V'loy Yosifu. Lo Yosifu means it shouldn't happen ever again. We shouldn't have more of these cases. Lo Yosifu is the Azhara as a warning. So how come the Rabbanan don't use that positive lo yosifu as a warning? Rabbanan hahu mi barlei? No, the word lo yosifu is teaching me another din of lachraza. That there are four types of averas. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that you have to make a big hachraza, a big announcement that this person did this thing wrong. So telling us that Edom Zomim, it should be warned, lo yosifu, that shouldn't be done, lo yosifu rather, it shouldn't be done again. That's a source of the hachraza, not a source of the azhara according to the Rabbanan. So then the question becomes, where does Rabbi Meir know the idea of the hachraza? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Meir, hachraza mi yishmu viro nafka. From the words yishmu viro, that it should be heard and seen, that's the source of hachraza. But lo yosifu for Rabbi Meir serves as the source of the azhara. But Rabban hold that whole phrase together, yishmu viro lo yosifu, that's all one phrase to teach me the source of the hachraza. Okay, we'll stop here.